Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Penny C. I'm from the Boston area, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, November 30th, 2022. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter We Agnostics, page 45, the third paragraph, which begins with, "We know how he feels," and ends with, "But it was fleeting and soon lost." Today's readers are the 12 Steps. We're going to have Colleen M., the 12 Traditions, Jen P. Readers of the text are Nancy P. and Heidi B. The newcomer greeter will be Reva P., and our second hour host is Janice P.M. The reference numbers for yesterday, Tuesday, November 29th, 2022, are these: the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 19,685. And for the 10 a.m., 19,686. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals which, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose is this. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And now I'm going to ask Colleen M. to read the 12 steps for us. Good morning, Colleen.
Good morning, Penny. This is Colleen M. from Maryland. The 12 steps of AA. 1, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. I'm sorry, we're supposed to do food. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you, Colleen M. And now I'm going to ask Jen P. She's going to read the 12 traditions for us.
Good morning, Penny. This is Jen P. From New Jersey. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for this service, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Jen P. And here's how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, you would press star 1. That will unmute you. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are in the chapter We Agnostics on page 45, third paragraph, which begins with, "We know how he feels," and ends with, "But it was fleeting and soon lost." I will ask Nancy P. to begin that reading for us.
Hi, good morning, Penny. Thank you for letting me share, and good morning, everybody. Nancy P., recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. We know how he feels. We have shared his honest doubt and prejudice. Some of us have been violently anti-religious. To others, the word God brought up a particular idea of him with which someone had tried to impress them during childhood. Perhaps we rejected this particular conception because it seemed inadequate. With that rejection, we imagined we had abandoned the God idea entirely. We were bothered with the thought that faith and dependence upon a power great beyond ourselves was somewhat weak, even cowardly. We looked upon the world of warring individuals, warring theological systems, and inexplicable calamity with deep skepticism. We looked askance at many individuals who claimed to be godly. How could a supreme being have anything to do with it all? And who could comprehend a supreme being anyhow? Yet in other moments, we found ourselves thinking, when enchanted by a starlit night, who then made all this? There was a feeling of awe and wonder, but it was fleeting and soon lost. Okay. So I still kind of feel that way. I'm not violently anti-religious, and I'm not full of doubt and prejudice. What I'm full of is a lifetime of data that has shown me that the idea of God doesn't seem to work for me, Nancy P., for me. And I finally embraced who I am, and nobody died, you know, least of all me. And I'm not selling this, I'm not preaching it, it's just for me, so I can get what I need, and it works for me. And it really works a lot, it does it ever. And some people think they need to tell me where I'm falling short. One guy actually called me and told me he was coming for me and was going to make me believe in God, if you can believe it. That actually happened. And that must have been a lot of work. He had to get into the member list and find me and call me up and tell me that. I mean, he wasn't mean or awful. He literally thought he was saving me. And another woman told me I would never recover if I didn't get on my knees. And these are people who listen to A Vision for You. I'm not the only one who feels this way, because I get a lot of calls about agnosticism. And I can totally identify with fleeting and soon lost, because that's exactly where I lived all those years. You know, yeah, I think I'll have nature be my higher power. Yeah, I think I'll do that. I like animals. I like elephants and whales and mountains and stuff. Yeah, I think I'll have nature. You know, that was my attitude. And it's such a hopeless place to be. I've been moved by various things I've seen in my life, and I always made the mistake of thinking abstinence in my relationship with food was how I would get where I needed to be. Then I would pick up and I'd start the cycle again. But today I have an unshakable serenity and I know peace. And that's not to say that my days are all perfect. They are definitely not. I always say that no one cares what I think and no one does what I say. But I enjoy a spiritual life that is full of joy and buoyancy. I live with it with every breath I take, and I don't need to get in touch with it. I'm never not in touch with it. I have fellowship with others who are deeply spiritual in a different way from me, and my serenity and peace get bigger and wider every day. So while my days aren't always perfect, my life really is. I thought the second step read, came to believe in a power, but it actually says, came to believe that a power could restore me to sanity. And the difference allowed me to relax, and I stopped feeling like a racehorse trying to get out of the gate. And the second step is really just a systemic way for me to access what I need to recover. And there's only one way for me to do it. Say it with me. Surrender, surrender, surrender. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Nancy. And before I take a list of names of people who would like to share, let me just say that we value everyone's experience, as you know. However, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day so that, you know, a number of voices can be heard. So if you shared on Monday or Tuesday of this week on any of Vision for You meetings, please hold back and let other people give me their names for those who would like to share. And so who would like to be on the list?
Rachel,
Larry
K.
Linda D.
Okay, I heard
Dara L.
Hold on. I'm going to ask you just to wait for a minute. I heard Larry and Linda, but I didn't get the first person.
Katie G.
Three S.
New Jersey.
Three of you think you
Rena.
Katie G.
I've got Katie G. Okay, Katie G. Larry
Rena L.
D.
Who
else?
Rachel
K. She's New Jersey.
Rena.
Did you get
L.
Dara L.? Dara L.?
Dara, can she come out? Can I let the other one out?
Somebody's unmuted. That doesn't mean to be. Somebody from New Jersey. Who did I hear from New Jersey?
Suze.
I have Katie G., Larry K., Linda D., Vera L., and someone from New Jersey.
Suze from New Jersey.
Rachel, I'm going to go. Let's do this. Let's go to those people, and then we'll take another. We're not just, wasting time here. Katie G., why don't you start us off?
Hi, Penny. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. This is Katie G., recovered in Boston. You know, when I first came into the rooms, I was horrified that people were talking about not eating. And could we please mute? I'm hearing lots and lots of background. I was horrified about, you know what, it's too loud. Sorry, I'm going to pass. Thanks.
Katie, are you still there? Yeah, I think someone's...
Yeah, Penny, it got really loud
yes.
In my house and on the line, so I'm going to let the next person go ahead.
Would you like me to come back?
No, thank you. I'll just pass for today. Thank you.
All right. Larry K., why don't you try?
I'll give it a try. Hey, Penny. Good morning. Larry K., recovered compulsive reader from Chicago. Thanks for getting us started, Nancy, on that. You know, you're not going to make a sucker out of me. You know what? That was kind of my sentiment in my mind anyway when I came into program. You know, and in this paragraph, we looked askance at many individuals who claim to be godly. Boy, have you run across people that have claimed to be godly and saw the hypocrisy in that? Well, I certainly did. I always could judge. Boy, did I could put a judge's robe on real quick. And I looked askance at those people. And sometimes, don't tell anybody, but I still can. I still can. I can see the hypocrisy and forget that these are just human beings just like me. Okay, but we still live in the age of miracles, and that's what I've come to know. We still live in an age of miracles. It's just that, you know, miracles I see today are taking place all around us continuously. And even the power of our mind, the power, you know, just being here. Oh, my gosh, being here is a miracle. Now, you may not see it. I didn't see being there. When I walked into an OA room, I didn't see that as a miracle. Today, I do. I see it as a miracle. There are many people that haven't been open to that miracle yet. But, you know, miracles are here. And while I've been taught that miracles are few and far between, at least I saw it that way. And not only that, that they only happen to the special ones. Only the special people on the line, that's who gets miracles. And I was so wrong. Oh, was I wrong about that? And so I had to broaden my understanding and broaden my mind. And it didn't happen through contemplation. It happened through taking action. Because, I mean, ultimately, you guys, you know, when I focus on the problem increases. I was talking to someone this morning about it. And when I focus on the solution, well, guess what? The solution increases. I'm the problem, you know. So when I focus on me, that's Larry increases and he's the problem. But God is the solution. The higher power is the solution. So which am I going to focus on today? And since this is a solution that's predicated on spiritual actions rather than just on thinking and contemplation about the actions, but doing them, the only measure for me of focusing on the solution is in the actions for me today. Is in practicing imperfectly, practicing these principles, practicing these steps. That is where I'm going to gain this faith. That is where my faith will grow. That is where my service orientation will grow, is through the immersion, through the absorption in this solution, which is in these actions. Penny, I'm so grateful for that. And with that, I pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Larry. Right on the nose, tough time. Linda D.
Good morning, Penny. Hi, everybody. It's Linda D, and I'm recovered. That's amazing. I'm recovered, but not cured, so I thought I'd drop by, and I live in Connecticut, because I dropped by to save my life. This is hardball. This is not a country club event. This is very difficult to grow because I spent an entire lifetime of feelings that were upside down and backwards. And I know it today, but I didn't know it for half of my lifetime. And if anybody threatened me in any way, as someone just mentioned, I'd be appalled, especially on a phone line that's about love. The person isn't there yet. And sometimes I'm not there yet. I mean the person that's threatening. They're talking about feelings. I was an atheist, and I mean I wasn't looking askance. I was pissed off because it's ridiculous. Look at the world. It's a mess. You look at the world in 90 seconds. I don't want to. That's on, you know, commercial TV. Now, I have a choice. I can look because I practice these steps over and over and over and over. And it's awesome. I ended up at awe. I ended up enchanted and in a state of awe a lot of times. And when I'm talking to God, because I'm so close now and I listen so hard, you know, so intently. And that's the only way to do it, if that's surrender, listening, and acting, and it takes great courage. I end up in awe. It's amazing. It's an amazing, and it is truly enchanting, and it is hard work because it takes courage, and I even have to ask for that. But most of all, I have to be honest and say, my feelings betray me. They betray me because they're rooted in fear and confusion. I was a very scared kid, very, very scared kid in a very tall adult body. And I have to grow. And I love growing, even though it's hard. It's so wonderful to be close to God and close to all of you. I'm part of humanity. And it's gorgeous, even though sometimes it's really ugly. But I can grow. And God never stops being gorgeous. Thanks, I pass.
Thank you so much, Linda D. And next we have Vera L. Good morning, Vera.
Hey, Penny, could that have been Dara L?
I'm sure it was.
Okay.
spell your name for
sure.
Me.
Sure. D-A-R-A L, and I live in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you so much, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive eater. And, you know, I just want to focus on the honest doubt and prejudice and the feeling of awe and wonder that was fleeting and soon lost. I love this paragraph, and it definitely relates to the me that I was when I came in here and started doing this work and got recovered. And, you know, I wish that I could say that I'm past this, but I'm not. I mean, honest doubt and prejudice and the feeling of awe and wonder that is fleeting and soon lost is a daily experience for me. You know, I read that an agnostic is one who doubts the existence of what they cannot see. And that's me, you know, that's me. I woke up yesterday, I had an amazing God-filled day. God is the center of my life, the center of my universe. You know, everything was beautiful. I aligned with God's will. And then I woke up this morning with 5/10 steps. You know, like, how does that happen? How is it that that feeling of awe and wonder is ever elusive for me, that I can experience a miracle of healing and yet be like, well, God's not going to show up in this area or whatever? And I see that we don't have to believe in any one thing. You know, I believe in the existence of God, but I could call it anything. I could call it love. I could call it kindness. I could call it being able to live according to my ideals. You know, whatever it is, I think that honest doubt and prejudice is how I get to show up and be human and let other people in to my life. You know, I am no more, I don't know, evolved than I was when my head was in the toilet. Like, I'm the same person with the same fears, but on a daily basis, I get to experience coming to this source of love that I believe in, having a miracle of healing, and then forgetting, you know, 15 minutes or, you know, like sometimes I can make it 24 hours believing in God, you know, shot through with every fiber of my being. But more often than not, it's like, you know, it's like a sunrise. I see it, I marvel at it, it's gorgeous. And then 20 minutes later, when the sun's not rising anymore, I'm like, oh, well, you know, like it's bleak today. And I love that about myself. And I love that about fellow addicts. And I'm so grateful that I do work outside of the meeting to connect with other people who are trudging this road. And I get to see, you know, our brokenness and our humanity and the fact that I don't think any of us has arrived or, you know, is not agnostic anymore. Like, I think I get to be an intensely spiritual person who has pockets of unbelief that run through every day. And so I'm never going to evolve past this stuff. And I'm just really, really grateful that the honest doubt and prejudice doesn't mean I don't believe in God. It just means that if I can't see it in the moment, I get scared because I'm still basically a 5-year-old who doesn't know how to live. Or actually, no, I'm about to turn 2 in the new year. And so, yeah, like, I'm a child. I'm going through my terrible 2s. And God loves me anyway. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dara L. And now I'm ready to take some more names, and I'm going to do my best to hear everybody. So go ahead.
Maria.
Maria.
Robin P. in London.
Robin.
From New Jersey.
Again, who's from New Jersey?
Suze. S-U-Z-E.
Suze.
Good morning.
Okay.
Ken W.
Ken W.H.
Jen A. in Colorado.
Who's from Colorado?
Jen A.
Jen, oh, hi, Jen. Jen A. And then I missed one. I have
Chris W. Chris with a K.
Chris with the K. Okay, that's a good lineup for the second group. I have Maria, and I'm going to ask you to give me your initial of your last name and where you're from when you share. Maria, Robin, Suze, Ken WH, Jen A, and Chris. Wonderful. Okay, Maria, go ahead.
Good morning, Penny. My name is Maria S. I'm from Dublin and Ireland, but currently in Knoxville, Tennessee. Great to be here on your time zone, guys. I'm usually 5 hours ahead. And thanks so much to Nancy for getting us started. And yeah, this paragraph, it just speaks to me this morning. We're on step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity, because I was insane in thinking when it came to food, absolutely insane. I was brought up in an Irish Catholic home and had, pictures of the Sacred Heart in our house, and I had a belief in God, but I had absolutely no relationship with the higher power. I had the a la carte God that I went to, when things were bad. And I couldn't understand why God wouldn't, and I prayed and prayed on my knees, take this problem with food away. When I came into the rooms, I thought it was a very simple idea that God could do this. God could work miracles in my life, because I tried it, but I hadn't surrendered. I hadn't given up. I was a recovering higher power. I thought that I could do this. I could control the food. And if I could just find the right diet, I hadn't quite found the right diet. And being shown through this depth, and having a relationship with the higher power today, and that does for me, because I can't do this by myself. We're away here for the last week from my husband's birthday, and talk about being taken care of, been traveling, just absolutely mind blown, and living in recovery, still doing the same things that I need to do when I'm away, and for my program, for my recovery, because if I'm not right with God, I'm not right with anyone, so it comes with that relationship with the higher power. And we're traveling on again today, and I know that I'll be taken care of. So with that, I'll pass. Just wanted to just check in with all you guys. Thanks so much. Thanks, Penny.
Thank you so much, Maria S. And Robin, it's your turn.
Thank you so much. Hi, I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater currently in London, England. And I'm very grateful to be recovered today and abstinent. It's a lot of wonder going on. My husband and I are traveling for 3 months, 23 cities and towns in Europe, city shopping to see if we want to live here for part of the year. We retired last year and live in Costa Rica. So it's been a lot of awe and wonder and some challenges. I'm an organic, gluten-free vegan, so some of the places here were challenging, and God's taking care of me. There's so much awe and wonder in God's care of me. I'm turning my will and my life over to his care and praying only for knowledge of his will and the power to carry it out. Keeps it so much more simple for me. And, and I get to show, I think someone's unmuted, and I get to show up. And every day, one day at a time, the past almost 7 years, and just do what I can, row that boat, And, when we get into a town, the first thing that we do is I go to a grocery store and get what I need. And that's me participating in God's will for me today. I'm really grateful to be on this meeting. I'm usually on the 10 a.m. Eastern, and I'm really grateful to be on this meeting. God bless everybody with a very blessed afternoon day. Thanks again. I pass.
Thank you, Robin T. And before I call on Suze, let me just remind everybody where we're reading from today. We're in the chapter We Agnostics in the Big Book. We are on page 45, the third paragraph, which begins with, "We know how he feels," and ends with, "But it was fleeting and soon lost." And now I'm going to call on Suze.
Hi, this is Suze S. from New Jersey. And I wasn't able to catch the reading this morning, unfortunately, but I've listened to the shares. Higher power is doing for me what I cannot do today. I've been staying in the days. I can talk about my past, but for today is the day after I had a wisdom tooth pulled. And in the sheet that they gave me and how to care for myself, they suggest that I have ice cream and pudding and all these things. And I had to laugh. I actually told them in the dentist's office, I said, I'm in a 12-step program. I can't have this. So not feeling so great this morning. Also, my refrigerator died the night before I had my tooth pulled. But I went ahead and did it anyway. It didn't occur to me that I could postpone it, although it just, well, I'd already postponed it once. But anyway, higher power is doing for me what I can't do for myself. I'm getting a refrigerator tomorrow from my landlord. And in the meantime, I'm using the apartment upstairs to keep my food that I did buy yesterday. And it's coming along. I feel a little weak this morning. But I have food for today that keeps me abstinent and yet have enough nutrition. And I'm one day at a time. Higher power is caring for me, even in this condition. So I will pass now. Thank you. And thank you for all of you.
Thank you, Suze S. And now I'm going to say good morning to Ken W.H.
Good morning, Penny. This is Ken W.H., recovered compulsive eater from North Carolina. This is a really difficult area of the book. This paragraph, and in particular the one before it as well, are a real challenge for me. I'm just being honest. I know I hear people say I love certain paragraphs. Well, these are paragraphs I don't love. I call them my can of worms, the can of worms paragraphs. It's like we're going to talk about things spiritual as well as moral, but then Bill says, and that means, of course, that we're going to talk about God. And that just opened the can of worms, the Pandora's box, whatever you want to call it. We've been fussing with that forever, and so have I, just to be honest. It makes it pretty clear that the problem is I don't have the power to be healthy with respect to food on my own, period. And I have proven that over and over. I've got all the evidence in the world that I need that I don't have the power to do that. I know that I'm a selfish, self-centered self that has driven a lot of this for years, but that's still not the root of the issue for me. The root of the issue is even self, my selfishness and everything else is grounded in power or lack thereof or desire for power. It's this letting go that's been the hardest thing in the world for me, to let go of so much of what is a distraction from my recovery. And there are so many distractions that want to pull me in all kinds of directions. All I need to know is that I am in under the power of something so much greater than myself that I stand in awe. And when I let go of that ledge, I don't have this pie in the sky image of there's a ledge right underneath me. I have this sense that I'm just letting go into a free fall and trusting absolutely that the God or the power or whatever there is has me under care. And I am in the best place I can possibly be, even in a free fall of faith, per se. I just need to know that I don't have the power to save myself. I don't have the power to know what's going to happen tomorrow. I can make all my plans, but I can't know So thanks for letting me share. God bless everybody. Bye.
Thank you, Ken WH. And next I'm going to call on Jen A. in Colorado.
Hey, Penny. Good morning. Thanks so much for hearing my froggy voice this morning. Recovered in Colorado, recovering from not feeling good, but never too sick to get on a meeting and join in. Thank you so much for everybody who shared today and for Nancy taking the lead on that. Wow, what a paragraph. You know, I was just thinking this morning about doubt and prejudice. I was a girl who doubted and questioned. I was distrusting of the God that was placed before me in childhood. And I was always pretty suspect about how this God was going to be and what I was going to get from this God. And when God didn't do a darn thing for me as a compulsive overeater, and I remember like sitting on the toilet, being in front of the toilet, in the bathroom all the time, and just being like praying to God, and nothing was changing. I didn't understand why. And I like how somebody else shared this morning about the selfish and self-seeking, you know, part of me. You know, when I can put that aside and I can say, okay, God, like, or whoever you are, whatever it is out there, this is not working for me. What's going to change? What's going to be different this time? And that's where I love the steps. And I remember reading them on that, you know, big piece of plastic hanging there on the wall in the meeting room. Step two, came to believe, you know, came to believe, didn't happen overnight. It was a realization for me that, okay, give it time. Transcending this level of consciousness with my creator today and the divine inspiration that God gives me, I get it now. I didn't get it when I first came in. But I'm so glad that I was able to be open-minded, be a little neutral on it, and just say, okay, God, I'm going to believe, and I'm going to give you a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And when he started to just touch on the little pockets of agnosticism and disbelief in my life, and show up in big ways, I call those BFDs, big fucking deals in my life and program, then that's when I knew there was a God, it wasn't me, and it was pretty freaking powerful. And that's all I need to know today. And do I still have pockets of disbelief? Absolutely. I love how somebody else said that too. You know, it's not bibbidi-bobbidi-boo, wave your magic wand, and here I am, recovered and believing in God 100% of the time. No. But I will tell you, this program keeps bringing it home for me. And when I got online with a sponsee yesterday and they did a fear inventory and the tears were like floodgates, and I heard that person have faith like that person had never had before, that's what does it for me, is seeing it opened in the eyes of others. Faith is doing for us what we could have not done for ourselves. And I truly believe that, and I see it happening not only in my own life but in those around me. So just grateful to know that there is a God. It's not me. And, you know, I think I've said enough, Penny. So I'm going to grab a Kleenex. And thanks for letting me share this morning. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Jen, and feel better. And next we have Chris with the K.
Hi, Chris with a K from Nashville, Tennessee.
And your initial of your last name, Chris?
Oh, I'm sorry, W.
Okay, go ahead.
So I'm reminded of yesterday that someone said that they had this whole process backwards, that it was, I was using God to try to get abstinent rather than using my abstinence to try to get closer to God. And it finally like sunk into my heart. I've heard similar things, you know, probably, but that really, really has been sinking in, and that's what I was doing. I had everything was focused on me, try to get abstinent, and that was my whole entire goal. And now that I've been abstinent for almost 2 months again, or for real, I guess I should say, I realize that my relationship with my higher power has been changing so much. And yesterday I had, all of a sudden I had my feelings really hurt. And I thought of, you know, what we say when we do a 10th step to call someone and don't even tell them about yourself. So I didn't tell my son that he'd said something that was very, very painful. And not that he meant to, but I thought of what the, you know, 10th step was. And I haven't been using that very often. I just think, well, I'm single, I'm by myself, my cat doesn't really cause me any grief, so I don't have as many 10 steps. Well, my sponsor, I got a new sponsor, and we're working through the steps, and I'm just right at the end of it, and he said to do a 10 step every day, and I'm thinking, well, I don't even have them, need them every day. Well, now I'm searching them out, and yesterday, I only had maybe 2 minutes of being in pain before I grabbed the phone, even though I was in the car, I grabbed someone and did a 10th step with them, and that pain went instantly away. And I thought, oh my gosh, I thought I knew everything. I've worked these steps 4 times in 2 years. I don't need to do them again. But this time there's been a whole lot of different things. And it's probably because I've been totally abstinent and quit fighting it. So with that, I'm going to pass.
Thank you so much, Chris W. And I'm looking at the time, and I'm going to take 3 more names and then see where we are from after that. Who else would like to share?
Paula D.
Lulu L. Lulu L. Rena L.
Lisa BG.
Okay, this is who I heard. Paula D., someone whose last initial is L, and Serena. Whose last initial was L?
Lulu. Lulu L.
Okay, gotcha. All right, so those 3 for now. Go ahead, Paula. Paula D. in Florida, I think. Paula, we can't hear you. One more time, Paula D.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, there you go.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry about asking more than once. I couldn't hear you, but here I am, Paula D., grateful. Grateful I am for this day. You know, as I was listening to this, I always try to figure out how can I apply it in my life? Do I see this in my life? And that question, it was always a question that I can't answer. How could a supreme being have anything to do with it all? Question. And who could comprehend a supreme being anyhow? I can't. But I know it's there. The same way I know the air is I'm breathing. It's there. But you know, I keep thinking, This is the easiest, soft way for me is finally to come to the point. It doesn't matter, Paula. It will happen. And I love in Bill's story. He says, we landed in England. I visited Winchester Cathedral. As all he said was, much moved. Much moved. That's what he said. And then he turned around, and we came a lot later in 13, page 13, and he said, it was only a matter of being willing to believe in a power. Then something happened to him. He realized what happened at that cathedral that moved him. It moved him again. See, I don't believe God gives up on us. I think sometimes we give up on God. But, you know, I just want to say I loved to hear every single message, because it applies somehow. Paula, did you have a doubt? Paula, what did you think of this? There was a feeling of awe and wonder, but it was fleeting and soon lost. And may I add, sometimes I listen to this meeting. It is with awe and wonder, and I thank you for the time given. And I will close now.
Thank you, Paula D. And next, Lulu, it's your Western.
Good morning, my fellow sisters and brothers. It's a beautiful morning. I woke up feeling filled with the awe and wonder of God, but I haven't always felt that way. I came into the program feeling like I had a pretty good grasp on the whole God idea. But interestingly, the further I get into the program, the more and more and more that God reveals himself to me, herself, itself. I do know, I love the sentence at the bottom of page 45. With that rejection, we imagined we had abandoned the God idea to get altogether, entirely. Well, I realized that regardless of how much I consumed, that I may have turned my back on God, but God certainly hasn't ever left me. God is right there waiting for me to turn my face back to him. Regardless of whether my head is in the toilet, regardless of whether my head is in a bag of something it shouldn't be in, God is right there with me every moment, beating my heart, and as has been mentioned, giving me air to breathe. God is all there is. Bill Wilson told us, either God is everything or God is nothing. God is all there is. So how could that God who loves me so profoundly turn away from me? Never, ever, ever. It's just me that turns my back on God. And so I have to remind myself that of every day, because there are days I wake up not joyous, happy, and free at all, feeling kind of poopy-faced, kind of down in the dumps. But if I take just a few minutes, especially if I step outside and I see the sunrise, I watch the orchid that I have carefully tended for 6 months. How much more carefully tended am I by the God of my understanding, by my higher power? And so I love that sentence. It reminds me again and again that God will never abandon me regardless. Yet I am the one who will abandon that concept of God. So thank you for letting me share. Thank you, everybody, for your shares. They are profound. And with that, I pass.
Thank you. And that was Lulu L. And next, we have Serena. Serena, we can't hear you. One more time. Serena, maybe you need to press star one. Well, I can take two more names. Is that Serena? No. Let me have two more names, please. And who would
Jim,
yeah.
Jim S. in Toledo.
Jim S. as in Sam?
Sam, right.
Okay.
Lisa B.G.? Rena
Lisa
L.
B.G.?
B.G. What's your first name?
Lisa B.T.
Lisa B.G. Okay, let's go with those two, and we'll see if we have any more time. Jim S., your turn.
Good morning. My name is Jim S. I'm in Toledo, Ohio. I'm a compulsive overeater. And this paragraph comes close to what I practice, and that is the presence of God. I was in a meeting Sunday night, and a man was talking about the third step prayer, and when he read it, he felt this presence. And that's the presence that I need in my life. And for me, I need to abstain from things that war against my soul. And that can be, and I'm talking about food primarily, things that I eat take me away from the presence of God. And I struggle then with trying to put myself back in order with him. And that's what I find is working for me. So one day at a time. And I'm glad to be able to share, and I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Jim S. And now Lisa BG.
Hi, good morning. Can you hear me?
I can, yep.
Great. Okay. Hi, it's Lisa B. T is in Tommy, in Guelph near Toronto, Canada. I'm kind of smiling at how the timing goes, you know, that phrase, is it odd or is it God? Because these past readings, right, really get to the heart of the message about how this entire book and program is spiritual. And I see it like relational, you know, like things in twos. And so I was really only trying to do one part of the program, which was the abstinence, the, you know, the tools, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And really never really accepted step two, even though I sort of said I did or felt I did or wanted to. But there was something about believing that God, who I do believe in, and I use that term God, was really there for me in any way, you know. And so eventually what has happened is I've come to recognize that if I just keep doing my spiritual practices, that will help me. And I had an interesting experience this morning that I just wanted to relay, because to me it is totally because I've been working on this program. Christmas Day falls on Sunday this year, and because of COVID, I was part of a, we call it the Holy Listening Circle, and we just get together on Zoom for an hour on Sunday mornings. And for me, like vision, it's just a foundation of my week. It's a practice that I do. But this Sunday, it's on Christmas, and I have family visiting. I have family coming in from, you know, out of town. I'm meeting my daughter's, you know, new boyfriend for the first time. It looks like he's the one, all that sort of stuff. We're all going to be there on Christmas morning. We're going to have our big Christmas celebration on the 24th. And somebody said, you know, I'm afraid I can't make it. Can somebody step in for me? And I thought, well, no, I can't. I'm busy. And then I thought about, well, what are the principles of the program? And if I'm going to put my practice and my spiritual life first, then if this is key to my spiritual practice, that if I'm being asked to be there, then I can be there. It's only an hour. But it took 24 hours for that to sink in, right? Like, oh, no, I don't want to. Oh, it's Christmas. Oh, you know, I have family. To realize I really do need to put program first. And where I got that teaching and where I got that message was here, was in the rooms. It's taken me a long time to get the spiritual piece, because the practices just by themselves or the tools just by themselves, I came to realize really didn't work for me. And I love that I can give up on trying to figure it all out. I'm a figure outer. You know, I just, like, that's what I spend my time doing. I'm in my head all the time. What's God? What's this? Do I like nature? I've just stopped and say, what's the practice today? What's the next right step? And imperfectly and bit by bit, just try to do that. So on Sunday morning, that's what I'll be doing. And I'm thrilled. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Lisa B-T-T-S and Thomas. And it looks like we have time for a two-minute share. Would anyone want to take that time? Okay, anyone want 2 minutes? Now it's down to 1.5 minutes. Then I think
Rena L.
Who is this, please?
Rena L.
Go ahead, Leah.
It's Rena, R-E-N-A. Sorry, I'm trying to make sure
okay.
I'm the right person. Hi, this is Rena L. from Toledo, Ohio, recovered compulsive overeater and anorexic. And I'm just glad to get a share in and just to be heard this morning. The comments have been great. And I kind of judge the state of my recovery by how much this paragraph bothers me. And I'm so... And I'm grateful for today that I feel willing. I feel willing to take in a God idea, just the God idea, and to know that it works. What I can say is I don't know if I believed in the God that works in my life. and I'm grateful to see that it works. So that's it. I'll keep coming back. Thanks.
Thank you, Rena. And that will end the sharing part of this first hour. Thank you to everyone who shared and everyone who joined us by just being on the line. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following this closing. The share ID for today, Wednesday, November 30th, 2022, the 7 a.m. meeting is 19,691. 19691. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I'm calling on Heidi B., who's going to read that selection for us.
Hi, thank you, Heidi B. from New York. Grateful to have been of service on Team Wednesday for the month of November. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.